John chapter 1, but the Watchman broadcast, that series that I'm doing now, based upon Matthew 24 and what Jesus said, that many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, we're seeing that in our days. How many false prophets have risen up in America since America's founding? You have Joseph Smith, the Mormon Church. You have Ellen White, Seventh-day Adventist Church. False prophets, because she said an angel showed her the Ten Commandments in heaven, that they were ablaze and they were shining with the glory of God, but the fourth commandment was shining brighter than all the rest of them. And what that meant was, the angel told her that that meant that Christ nailed 9 commandments to the cross, but not the fourth commandment. We still have to obey the fourth commandment if we, and their version of obeying the fourth commandment is you have to go to church on Saturday, which is a lie. That's not what God said. It's not what he said to do. He said rest. So anyway, you have Ellen White, you have Charles Taze Russell. He listened to a sermon preach about hell, and he didn't like it. He decided then he didn't believe in hell. He wasn't going to believe in hell, that all the preachers and all the theologians and all the Bible teachers and all the Bibles were wrong. So he basically, his cult, Jehovah's Witness, rewrote the Bible. It's called the New World Translation. Okay? And then you have guys like Jim Jones. Jim Jones, the People's Church. And they worshiped that man. That man, whatever he said to them, they obeyed him. And I mean strictly. So much so that he talked about 1,000 of them into moving from America down to Guyana, formed a little community called Jonestown. When a U.S. senator decided to investigate, or congressman, I can't remember, but a congressman from the United States flew to Jonestown to see, because several people were telling him that Jim Jones had control over their family members and wouldn't let them leave that cult. He went down to investigate. He got assassinated while he was down there at the airfield. And it was captured on camera. He killed the film crew that was following him down there, because a film crew from a news station was going with him. And Jim decided that would bring the feds in on him. So he talked to everybody. He told over 800 people to drink cyanide. Was it cyanide-laced Kool-Aid? I think it was cyanide in their Kool-Aid. And over 800, when they finally found the community that they had put together, they found over 800 men, women, and small children. Some of the mothers put the Kool-Aid in the baby's bottle and made them drink it. Wicked. David Koresh, a branch of the Seventh-day Adventist, Branch Davidian compound, had so much control over those people that they had a choice to leave that compound. They could have left. The offer was made several times that they could leave, but Koresh told them, if you leave this compound, you won't get God's salvation. In other words, you'll burn in hell. And he convinced those people to remain in that compound, and they burnt alive in that compound. False prophets. So God laid it on my heart to deal with a specific one. And I talked to Michael about it Monday night. And we were a little nervous, both of us, about the prospect of speaking out against a Kenyan false prophet by the name of Dr. David Owor. And so I really felt strongly that God had laid that on my heart and had given me enough things to say. Now, what I didn't do, and I recorded this today, it'll be out Sunday. What I didn't do is rely on rumors innuendo, accusations. And there's plenty of those. What I did was I went to his website and then used some of his video recordings of things that he said. And I would put what he said up on the screen or a claim that he made, and I would show then how that violated Scripture. And probably 8 different things. And it's not just a difference in doctrine, like between us and, let's say, the Assembly of God Church over here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this man making himself equal with Jesus Christ, because that's what he does. So I recorded that today. Lo and behold, Michael's been sick all day long. And that'll be out Sunday, God willing. And he is a very powerful man in Kenya. He's already tried to shut down our radio station. Unsuccessful. If God's in it, God will bless it. It'll prosper. If God's not in it, then we shouldn't be doing it anyway. So to the people of Kenya, I say, I'm doing this because I love you. I've been among you, and I absolutely love the Kenyan people. I don't know if they're wonderful people, beautiful people. And I care about them. And also, we're going to do another feeding this week. Hopefully, Michael, the biggest feeding we've ever done so far. Hopefully. Michael's going, oh no. Because I figured, well, while we got the devil mad at us, we just might as well just keep going. Amen. So pray. I'm being dead serious. I'm going to ask you, we're going to have prayer time at the end of our Bible study, and I'm going to ask you to pray for our church. Pray for Michael, his family. Pray for me and my family. And pray for the pastors in Kenya that support our ministry that have come away from Dr. Owar. Pray for those men who stand against that false prophet. You'll not believe the things that he said about himself. You'll just go, I can't believe he said that. Okay? But I guarantee you, it's him. Either he's right or the Bible's right. But you can't have it both ways. Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's been a while since we've been together on a Wednesday night. So let's start at the beginning and roll our way forward. This is a new study we're doing. I love John. Out of all the writers in the Bible, he's my favorite. Just the way that he writes. You can see in the way that he writes that he truly is the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he referred to himself in this gospel. He said he spoke of himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he was talking about himself. And I love that phrase. That just blesses my heart. And when you read John and understand him, you can clearly see a difference between his gospel and the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Very, and it's deep. Very, I want to say philosophical, but it's just deep, deep, deep knowledge. He doesn't start with the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew does, Luke does. And this is interesting to me. Two of the gospels speak of the birth of Jesus Christ. Two of them don't. Two of them start at the baptism of Jesus Christ by John. Luke does, and John does. Matthew and Mark start at the beginning of Jesus' life with his birth, and then they move forward, okay? So the very first thing out of John's mouth when he has the pen in his hand and he's going to write this gospel, to me, one of the most important verses in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word. He already was there. Jesus was not created. He is not a demigod or a half god or a creation of a creation of a creation of a creation of a creation. He is fully God. He was there with his Father creating the universe as we know it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No misunderstanding in this verse. The Bible is the Word of God, and it is God. Can God tell a lie? No, God cannot tell a lie. Therefore, my Bible cannot tell a lie. It cannot be wrong, ever cannot be wrong. They accuse us who follow the King James. We have a new young man here that wanted to come to our church. His name is Derek. He was showing me his Bible. It's a beautiful, big old King James Bible. So, Derek, welcome here. Amen. Okay. So, anyway, they accuse us of idolatry because they say we worship the Bible. Okay. The Word was God. I worship God, and I am humbled by His Word. Amen? Okay? I am amazed with His Word. It's absolutely perfect. It's absolutely wonderful, exactly the way Jesus is. And then verse 2, the same, meaning the Word, was in the beginning with God. Now go back to Genesis chapter 1 very quickly. Genesis chapter 1, and look at how the universe was created. Science tells us that it was a big bang. Stephen Hawking, the guy in the wheelchair that talks with a computer, smartest guy on the planet, years ago wrote a book about the Big Bang. And he made a statement: I don't believe in God, I don't believe it was created, I don't believe in a creator. Years later, he came out, and I'm just relying on memory here, but if I remember right, years later he came out with another book saying, the farther I go back to the beginning of the universe and how everything ended up the way it was, I'm forced to admit that it seems like an intelligence put it all together. That's about as close as he came to saying, I believe in God. You cannot tell me that all of this universe compacted down into an unseeable, beyond microscopic bulk of mass, extremely hot, exploded out, and all of the mass and all of the particles of matter accidentally formed into stars, galaxies, planets, and then accidentally formed life on at least one planet, this one. You can believe that if you want. I don't buy it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That just, to me, makes more sense. Was it a big bang? Bible doesn't say nothing about no big bang. It said that God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then now notice now, and God said, this is the Word of God now. Four words. What book are we in? John, fourth gospel. Let there be light. Let there be light. He spoke those words, and instantaneously, light presented itself in the universe that God created, the earth and the heavens that God made. Now, Answer this question, Callie. Could God have made all of everything that he made? Could he have done it all in one day? Sure, he's God, okay? But he didn't. And whenever God does something a certain way, it's okay to ask God, why did you do it this way? You obviously have the power to create everything all at once. So why then did you create everything on certain days? God is showing us his nature, the way he works, okay? Somebody in the art world can examine a piece of a work of art and tell whether or not it's a real work of a certain artist or a fake, because these guys take that little glass and they study the brush lines and the way the brush moves. And it's sort of like how everybody writes their signature. Nobody signs their signature exactly the same way as everybody else in the world. In fact, we don't even sign our signature the same way we did the last time we signed our signature. Nobody does. But they look at that and they say, okay, this is a fake. This is a forgery. Now let me look at this one. They look at that and they say, okay, that one's real. God left his handiwork. Romans chapter 1, turn there. Well, I got you going all over the Bible, don't I? Romans chapter 1 tells us about the creation. I think I probably have that in my notes. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but oh well. He said, let's see here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Verse 24, Romans 1. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's not what I wanted to read you. What I wanted to read you was verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I believe that in every man's soul is a knowledge of the truth. That knowledge can be suppressed or it can be opened up and acknowledged. Most people suppress the truth that's in their soul. Look at verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. How did God show it unto them? Verse 20, the invisible things of him from the what? The creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Your flesh may not understand it, but your soul does. So, years ago, I was asked the question, do a jungle tribe in the deepest part of the Amazon forest who's never had contact with modern man, which means they've never heard the gospel preached, they worship trees or they worship idols or they worship the sun or whatever, will they go to hell? Because it's not fair, because nobody told them the gospel. According to Romans 1, it's in their soul. The truth is in them. They suppressed it. They chose to follow after worshiping the creature, what was created, rather than the Creator himself. They chose that. So will they go to hell? Yes. Yes. Now, here's what else I believe. I believe if, let's say, a young man or a young lady in one of those tribes looks up one night at the stars, sees an order to those stars, sees the patterns that God has made, and says within themselves, I want to know who made that, I absolutely believe God will send somebody. Believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. God knows how to save people. God knows how to save people who don't even know he exists. God knows how to save them. Okay? So anyway, in the beginning was the Word. The point I was going to make back here in Genesis, before I went on this train ride on these other trains, was that the work of creation was performed by God saying words, speaking words, speaking his words. Now, do you and I have that same power? Can I say, I want a pencil in my hand? Where's the pencil? It doesn't work. Joyce Myers and some of these other false teachers will tell you, well, you just don't have enough faith. If you just bulk up on super faith, then you can just pronounce things with your mouth and you can have the same power that God has. I'm sorry, but man is not equal to God, ever. Not even in eternity will man be equal with God. We're not going to be, he's not going to be worshiping us. We're going to be worshiping him for eternity. So, the Bible's showing us, if you read Genesis 1, you'll see it, verse 3, let God said, let there be light. Verse 5, God called the light day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together. And then you have verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. I mean, just over and over. Verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament. So the method of God's creation was the spoken word. He speaks the word, and it instantaneously happens. It is creation. How did they, what was the Latin phrase? Ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. God created everything that is out of absolutely nothing. Man doesn't have that ability. We can't create something out of nothing, but God can. God's power is always, always, always in his word. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The word of the Lord. And the word is God. And who is... So let me ask the obvious question. Back in John chapter 1, who is John talking about when he says the word? Who is he talking about? Jesus. Jesus is the word. Now, I don't 100% understand that. I don't totally, in fact, I don't even come near to totally understanding that. But I believe it, that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, and Jesus is God. Amen. All right, now, the same, verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. That verse shows you his pre-existence. He existed with God. In fact, we have another witness to that. And I made reference of this today in the Watchman broadcast recording. Turn to John 17. If I can get my fingers to work. John 17. Jesus himself declares that he was around before the world was. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. God shared his glory with Jesus before the world ever was, meaning that Jesus existed before the creation. He wasn't part of the creation. He existed along with the creation. Michael, I'm being told that the screen is blurry and they can't see the scriptures. So I just thought I'd let you know. All right. Now, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. John chapter 1, verse 3. So we settled the issue. Jesus is the Word. He is the Creator. God created the universe through Him. In verse 3, all things, how many things? All things were made by Him, and without Him, Christ, the Word, was not anything made that was made. So, everything that exists, including things that you may have never seen, I believe that there are things in this universe, in the realm of space, that we don't even know about. They're there, and they're there because they were created to be there by Jesus Christ. Okay, so the scientists say that they have located stars, that they know they have planets revolving around them. Even though they can't see the planets, they understand by how the star wobbles a little bit, that it wobbles that way because of a planet's gravitational pull, and they have determined that they've got a list of all these stars now that they say contain planets. Now, we've never seen them. And I watched a YouTube video the other day where it described, they think they found one that actually has water on it, even though they can't see it. They some way determined that it had water on it. And they said it's a mere 148 light years away. The problem is, we don't have anything that can even travel at light speed or near light speed. So it might as well be a billion light years away, because we'll never get there. Amen. Okay, but if it's there, Jesus made it. He made it to be there. Including, and this is a big question with some people, they kind of get worked up. Who created the devil? Jesus did. Who created all the evil angels? Who created evil itself? God did. He said so in the book of Isaiah. I create evil. He said those exact words. Look them up. I don't know the verse. I create evil. His exact words. So evil in the form of Satan, was God tied up and handcuffed in a room while Satan snuck down on earth and tempted Eve? No. God let him. He let him tempt Eve, let her eat the fruit, let her give it to her husband, let him eat the fruit, so God then could send the Savior down to this earth. Every bad thing that happens, God allowed it, and God has a purpose in it. Every bad thing, every single bad thing that happens, God has a purpose in it. And that is a problem with the people who say, if God really is true, if God is a loving God the way you say, then why does God allow babies to be abused? Why does God allow suffering in this world? Why does God allow this? He said in His Word, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. God has a plan, and it involves evil things happening to innocent people. And God always makes those bad things, turns them into good. Remember the story of Joseph. How Joseph was, they thought about killing Joseph, their own brother, the 11. Actually, it was 10, I think. But they thought about killing Joseph. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He's in slavery. But he ends up in Potiphar's house, and he ends up basically being in charge of this very wealthy man's house. He's basically, everything is in Joseph's hand. His wife tempts him. Joseph understands, I'm not going to have any part of this. He runs away. She grabs his coat. She accuses him of raping her. They throw him in prison. That's a bad, terrible, and prison in Egypt is not like prison in America. You don't have any constitutional rights. And so Joseph is in prison for something he didn't do. And he has to spend, I don't know how much time down there, but he's down there. And then all of a sudden he comes up, and now he's the second in command of the whole world. God, and he said to his brethren, what you meant to me for evil, God meant to you for good. God has a way of turning every bad thing around. So he did make all the bad things and all the bad people and all the bad devils. God made them, but he made them for a reason, so that he could be glorified. The Bible says clearly that he raised up Pharaoh to be mean and cruel over the Israelites to show forth his glory. Where did Israel end up, and where did Pharaoh end up? Israel ended up in the promised land. Pharaoh ended up drowned in the Red Sea. Amen. Now turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Young people online. Listen to this. Great lesson here. My mother, God laid it on her heart that she was going to raise her children in Sunday school and church, and that her children were going to know the Bible. She sent us to Christian Academy for a while. She did everything she could to make sure that her children knew as much of the Word of God as they could. So, JR, when I was in 10th grade, I had a biology class, and my biology teacher he wasn't a mean teacher, but he was a very immoral man. While he's teaching biology at Festus High School, he also owned a tavern on Main Street called Tanglefoot. And they had dancers in there. You know what I'm saying? And I heard him say to some of the students that was in my class, the guys, that he'd let them in. Very immoral man. But he let us, we got to a thing about evolution, and he let us have a debate in that class, evolution versus creation. So everybody picked me to be the creation guy, the mouth of creation. Okay? And when I got done, I got all these high fives from all my buddies, you know. It's like, hey, man, great job. But I never believed evolution, ever. Never in my life did I ever believe that we came from nothing. An accident. So Solomon, at the end of his life, very wise man, says, remember now thy creator, capital C, showing deity. The Bible, when it does that, it's showing you, he's talking about God. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. So why are all these politicians and all these big company CEOs, why is it that we're finding out that these people are very perverted? It's because they have been told and believe that they were not created by God, that they came about as a result of evolution. And they don't believe that after they die, they're going to be judged by the Creator. They don't believe that because they don't believe in a Creator. They don't believe that the universe was created. They don't believe that they were created. Therefore, if there is no God, then who says that what I do is immoral? And that's their belief. It's their firm belief. Okay? So, because these people were not taught as a young person, young lady, young man, that God is their creator, then they come up then with their own form of morality, which basically says what Anton LaVey said and what Aleister Crowley said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. In other words, do whatever you want. That's your law. And don't worry about whether or not it hurts anybody else. Don't care. Just do whatever you want. These people are Satanists. Now, they wouldn't say that they're Satanists because they don't believe in Satan, but they're Satanists because they believe in this moral idea that whatever I want to do is okay with me. In the Hunter Biden emails and the diary of Hunter Biden's niece is evidence that Hunter and Joe perved on their own family member. Wicked. They, and Joe Biden claims to be a Roman Catholic. He's not even a good one of those. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There will come a time as you reach old age that you'll say, why am I still alive? I find no pleasure in anything in this world. And so think about it. You're an old man or you're an old, old woman, and you don't believe in God. So you've reached the age where all you're doing every single day is waiting to die. And you believe that that's the end of everything. What do you have to look forward to? Nothing. So while you're young, you families that are watching us, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In fact, this is interesting. Four times in the King James Bible, the word Creator with a capital C is in there. Four times. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? Did you know that God did not catch COVID? It didn't affect him in any way, and he didn't faint. He's not weary. He's not tired and wore out like I get. Okay? He didn't have the COVID fog the way some of us have. God never gets tired. He never faints. He never passes out. He never says, I can't deal with you people down there today. I just can't deal with it today. It's a bad day. God never does that. He's always on top of it every day. Amen? Never sleeps. Never gets tired. And there's no searching of his understanding. In other words, the more you know about God from the Bible, the more you realize you don't know anything. And that's the beauty of it, because you can continue to search in the Scriptures all of your life. And people do. They search the Scriptures every day, and they find new things in there that they never saw before. And that continues with them their whole life. But they never totally understand God the way He is. Amen. And then 1 Peter, this is the third place where it is. And actually, 1 Peter 4 and Romans 1 show you a contrast. It shows you God's faithfulness and man's rejection. Notice this, 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God. Let me read that again. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful, capital C, creator. You see, God not only created everything that is, including you and me, but he also cares for his creation. Does God care about birds? Yeah, Jesus told us that. Does God care about the whales in the sea? Yeah. Does God care about the trees? God's watch over the earth basically is why we're all still alive. It's, to me, it's just absolutely, you can't tell me that nature by accident did this. The fact that every tree in the world breathes in carbon dioxide and breathes out oxygen. Meanwhile, every living creature on the earth breathes in oxygen and breathes out carbon dioxide. You cannot tell me that that's an accident, that that accidentally happened, that that's the way that the that this world and the life in this world continues to live. Because if the trees didn't do their job and we kept breathing out carbon dioxide, what would happen before too long? We would be breathing in carbon dioxide. Apollo 13, remember Apollo 13? And one part of the capsule broke down, the electric circuits broke down, and they had air scrubbers that scrubbed the carbon dioxide out of the air that the astronauts breathed and put out oxygen into the capsule. Well, for whatever reason, whoever designed the lunar module made the connections different, like a square peg in a round hole. So the NASA engineers worked up, you see that scene in the movie Apollo 13 where they rigged up this thing where they could put the scrubbers in. Because if you don't take the carbon dioxide out of the air in the capsule, the astronauts would have been dead before they ever got to the moon. It's like locking yourself in a box and you're breathing your own air. At some point, you're going to pass out and die. So here's all the trees in the world breathing in our corrupt carbon dioxide and then breathing back out oxygen. And then here we are breathing in that oxygen, breathing out carbon dioxide. The trees benefit from us and we benefit from the trees. Amen? So God's a faithful creator, right? God cares about his creation. Romans chapter 1, look at that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served what? The creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. So we see God's faithfulness. He's a faithful creator. He takes care of all of his creation, including us. He takes care of all the angels. He feeds us. He feeds all the ants, the birds, the snakes. He feeds everything and everybody. But man makes a choice and says, I'm going to worship that tree, or I'm going to worship that rock, or I'm going to worship that lizard, or I'm going to worship that serpent. They make a choice to worship the things that God created rather than, or I'm going to worship myself. That's the most dangerous God. And they reject God as the creator and replace God with themselves. Jesus created everything. Amen?